Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Yankees are in town.
Ooh.
Now, I think most folks, I know I did, had something circled on the schedule, and it wasn't this. It was the stretch against Minnesota. And you get out of that stretch against Minnesota in pretty good shape because you end up coming back and winning a couple of games, and you do it in dramatic fashion. You walk off, and it's all well and good. So during this stretch against Minnesota where you had eight games, you pick up five wins. You go 5-3 against the Twins in that stretch. That's pretty good. You can't argue with that.
No, you first-place team in your division going after them. You do that well against them, man, you will take that any day of the week.
I would think that's the case. Let's find out where he is, because it's always fun each and every week. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he's Brian Anderson. Hello, BA.
What's happening, buddy?
Well, hello, fellas.
Jim, walking, grilling, what are you doing?
You know what? All of the above, and I'll give you a hint where.
What?
Beautiful. Happy thing. Canada Day. Happy Canada Day.
Oh,
look at you, a man of international mystery.
Yes, it's and you know, we've got the 3 o'clock game today. Everybody is out and about. It's a little you know, rainy up here today, but people are out and about. This is a big day for this country.
Outstanding. Well, you'll help them celebrate. So I like that a lot. Congratulations.
Well, right. Thank you.
Series starting, before we go back and talk about the Twin series and the dramatic walk-offs, you're familiar with the Yankees. They're in the Rays division. They're good. They're really good. Are they as good as their record right now, Brian? Because, man, they're playing at a record pace.
You know what? Well, here's the thing. And again, we talked about this last week. They have beaten everybody, so you've got to give them credit. They have a really good winning record, very good winning record against teams that are over 500. The problem is this. When you look at the landscape of the American League, 8 of the 15 teams have losing records. I mean, that says it all. 8 of the 15. So are they that good? I mean, their record says they're really good. But I will tell you this. They're overly reliant upon the home run yet again. And if you can pitch to them, if you've got guys that can lock down a lineup, you can have a ton of success against them. Look at what the Rays have done to them. Now, we have not beaten them because we have not scored, but they have not scored off of the Rays either. The Rays pitching staff has done a marvelous job. The problem is they've been losing every game 2-1. And then look at what the Astros did, even last night, beating them 2-1. If you can pitch to that team and keep them in the yard, they are very, I don't want to say beatable, but they are mortal, no question about it, because they rely so much on the long ball. They have a hard time manufacturing runs, with base hits and stringing things together. It's a walk, it's a hit batter, and then it's a two-run blast by Stanton or Judge, and that's how they score.
I think the biggest, most upsetting thing with the New York Yankees is the fact that they've learned how to develop players, and I think that's unfair, and it should be taken away from them.
You know what else they've learned to do is I remember a couple of years ago running into some of the higher ups in the Rays organization, and they were talking about the fact that they were really, really high on DJ LeMahieu as a free agent, and they wanted him. He was their number one target. And they said, the problem is this. The Yankees analytics department has grown by leaps and bounds. And he said, that's why they identified him too, knew he was going to be a great fit and brought him in. But it was interesting for him to talk about, you know, the analytics department. And so now all of a sudden they're on board with all the information gathering and learning how to disseminate it to their players, eyeballing talent, developing talent. You combine that with the money they can spend, that's a monster.
Well, and this is the problem. So Jameson Taillon has taken off for them. Nestor Cortez, who they pulled out of nowhere, is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like they've taken the Rays mantra of like, oh yeah, we'll just go get this guy that you've never heard of, and we'll tweak three things, and all of a sudden he's the best pitcher in baseball. And it's not fair, because then they could go around at the deadline and go just pick someone up who's unbelievable and have Gerrit Cole as their fourth best pitcher. Like, it just sucks, Brian. It sucks. I hate it.
You don't know how right you are. That's the thing. They are as savvy as the Rays, you know, as the Guardians, you know, have to be. And they're doing it with an unlimited payroll, or seemingly an unlimited payroll in the minds of fans around the game. And, you know, that, again, it speaks to the analytics. You know, you take a guy like Taillon and Nestor Cortez, and you say, well, hey, you know, you do these things well. You do a little bit too much of this, so let's reduce that. Let's throw more of these. Let's move to this location. You know, Nestor Cortez has been very successful because, you know, most left-handers who are not completely overpowering, they live on the outside part of the plate. And I'm talking for the most part to both lefties and righties, but obviously they're going to face the majority of right-handed hitters. So they live on the outside. Well, Nestor Cortez makes his living with the glove side pitches. The cutter's in, the fastball's in, to then set up the cutter back door. And so they've been able to identify that. He has a little quirkiness to his delivery, and sometimes will change his arm angle. But they, you know, have been able to do exactly what you're talking about. And, you know, while it's not fair, they still, you know, haven't won a championship in a while. So teams are able to figure them out once you get into the postseason. And like I said, pitching, it comes down to pitching. If you can pitch them tough, you'll beat them.
Brian Anderson joining us, color analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays, former Indians pitcher. The Guardians have been up and down here as of late, Brian. Really big stretch where they won, I think it was 11 of 13. Then they lost 6 of 7 or 7 of 8. And now they've bounced back a little bit. How does a young team like that find some consistency? Or are the ups and downs like that just going to happen?
You know, they are part of the game, and they're going to happen during the course of the season. But I think that we're a young team can find, you know, consistency is the gentleman who stands down at the end of the dugout. And if you've got a rock down there as a manager who is consistent with his demeanor and his approach and the way that he manages a game day in and day out, then those, you know, fluctuations during the course of the season will be minimized. And, you know, and that's exactly what they have. And that's why I think that even around baseball, you hear people whispering, how about what Cleveland's doing? How about what Cleveland's doing? Because I don't think a lot of people expected a ton from that team, and yet here they are, right in line, you know, to fight for a playoff berth the second half of the season, which is what, you know, what everybody's in this for.
Brian Anderson, Rays color analyst, former Indians pitcher, live from Canada, of course, and the international man, joining us in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
We hope this isn't costing you extra money on the cell phone. Sorry if it is.
No, you know what? I was very excited, though, because yesterday I bought a couple of pair of running shoes, and I thought when I was checking out, you know, hey, these are probably a little bit overpriced, but I need them. And you know, what are you going to do? I'm up here, so I'm on a long road trip, so let's go ahead and get them. So I got them, wasn't real happy with the overall price, but then I got back, I flipped open my iPad, and my American Express charge comes scrolling down, and it had converted it back to U.S. dollars. And I was like,
nice.
Oh, I never even took that into account. So, yes, they were not overpriced at all, and I was very happy.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done. That's fabulous. So
whatever I thought I saved on that, I can put it towards this call.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. We are glad that we could be your spending off of the savings. All right. I got to ask you, because we only have a little bit of time left. So now the Big Ten goes from the Pacific to the Atlantic? Is that how this works?
Oh,
from
my
sea
goodness.
Sea to shining sea?
Right.
What's happening with college sports? I saw that yesterday, and my jaw dropped. I'm like, so now that it's not the Big Ten anymore. You just have to change the name of the conference. That's not the Big Ten. I mean, it's hardly the Big Ten with bringing my guys in there, Nebraska and Maryland and some of these Rutgers. Other schools, and now you're going to go get USC and UCLA. You know, I mean, these were the teams that, you know, when you were growing up, all the Ohio State fans wanted to win the Big Ten, the real Big Ten, to get to the Rose Bowl to play one of those two teams. And now they're conference games. That is the whole landscape of college sports is gone. I mean, it's nothing like what we grew up with. It's nothing like it was 10 years ago. I don't even want to say semi-pro. It's like the minor leagues. It's become that with the NIL and all these, you know, and they're making all these changes, and they're bringing these teams in because of the fees that they can then charge for television, you know, broadcasting. So it's all college sports has become all about the money, and they're not even attempting to hide it anymore.
You know, Brian, riddle me this one, because you'll have a much better feel for this than I will. I would think in some ways this could hurt recruiting if you're UCLA or USC, and not necessarily maybe in football, but in every other sport. What if, let's just say, your daughter plays softball and she wants to go to UCLA, and they're tremendous, and you're a family and you're locally there in Southern California, and you're thinking, perfect, she can stay in the vicinity, we can watch her play, we can take a road trip if we need to Arizona and watch some away games. Man, if you have a kid playing for one of those teams and you want to watch a road game, at least the way it is right now, you're hopping on a plane and flying basically east of the Mississippi River. And I wonder if that affects them in the lesser sports in any way, like baseball.
Don't wonder. Yeah, don't wonder. It absolutely will affect them. There's no question about it. A lot of those, you know, the smaller sports or the non-revenue sports, yeah. I mean, you do want to stay and play close to family, and family wants you. You know, you're talking about your closest conference game is Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah.
I mean, that's legit. That's your closest conference game
other than California school. Yep.
Of the other. Yes. Other than that. And so I would think that is going to affect a ton. And so obviously in keeping that in mind, you know why it's being done. Football. That runs the show.
Yep.
That drives the ship. And so, you know, they're going to, if that does indeed go through, I heard yesterday that it was almost a done deal. Not that it was all the way there, but once that goes through, I think that you're right. I think some of those smaller sports are affected because kids want to play close to family, and family, you know, want some of those kids to stay close. Yeah. Or at least stay in the same region, for crying out loud.
Big Ten ratified it last night. So it's 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Is it by 24?
By 24.
24. That's stunning.
Goodness gracious.
That's stunning.
That is absolutely stunning. My goodness. I can't wait to see how this all shakes out as far as the schedule and all that, because they obviously have to get to work on that right away. It seems how they're going to roll that over so quickly.
I mean, it's amazing. They napalmed the Rose Bowl. I mean, that's done after 23. You could take your sunset and shove it where it doesn't shine. I mean, it's basically, this is unbelievable, man. I mean, it's just between that whole thing that you got the SEC on top of it. Like, we're looking at it, it's going to be two monster conferences, and everybody else is just going to be kind of just grabbing whatever they could get for scraps. And they did it to themselves. They did this to themselves. Ah, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah. The landscape has completely changed, all because of these television rights deals that are so exorbitant that, you know, it drives these presidents and these athletic directors to brainstorm on how to get more of it. And
yeah.
So you're right. It's two super conferences, and then, you know, your non-Power Five, and, you know, they're just kind of out there, you know, playing football. So, you know, who knows how it shakes out as far as in the minds of the fans. You know, I mean, it's gotten so ugly and you know, I don't know. It's kind of like the Browns situation. You don't know how to feel about it. You're just, you know, this is a, I cannot remember a Cleveland Browns season going into it with so much disinterest that I have this year. I don't think I've ever had a season, and it feels the same way. You're kind of like, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, that's not you. Let me throw this one at you.
I don't like to play middle of the road, but
no.
That's how I feel.
This just screams that this is the beginning of moves, Bri. There have to be more coming. You know, are they going to try and raid some ACC schools? Are they going to get more schools out of the Pac-12? You know, Iowa State haven't, you know, who knows? But I would think that this is on its way to becoming the first true super conference that spans the entire country. And maybe you have an East and a West, and, you know, you absorb some other Pac-12 schools, and you're basically looking at what folks have talked about with football, which is that super conference, but they're building their own. And I, you know, the Big Ten, as we know, it doesn't exist anymore. I mean, that's gone now. And I just wonder, do you end up with a 24-team conference, and you're basically, you know, the next closest thing to the National Football League?
You know what? That, I was going to kind of go down that road. First of all, it's not a conference anymore.
No.
You know, a conference is regional. And you have your little conference, and you play against other regional conferences, and you all vie for the big trophy. This is a new league. That's all it is. It's a new league. It's not a conference anymore. It's a league. And yes, it's a minor league with NIL and the fact that what went on behind closed doors and, you know, in parking garages and in, you know, inside of McDonald's bags, that's open now. You know, they NIL was supposed to be, hey, man, I'm the star player at such and such a school, and they're making tons of money selling my jersey. I should get a cut of that. Now it's a recruiting tool.
Yep.
Hey, come play for us, four-year deal, $8 million. And we can do it out in the open with these collectives and everything else. It has become, once they opened up that can of worms, you knew how ugly it was going to get on the with the teams and the conferences as they are right now. It's about the TV revenue with the players. It's about NIL, and it's become a minor league. There's no more conferences. It's a minor league to the NFL.
Enjoy Canada, my friend.
I will. I absolutely will, and we'll see you all soon.
All righty. Brian Anderson in Canada, getting ready to call the
Rays
game.
Go find some poutine.
See you, dude.
Will do. That stuff, yeah, take care.
It'll stick to your ribs. in Canada, getting ready to call the Rays and the Jays. Afternoon game up there. Oh, man, I love having Brian on our show.
Me too.
Back-to-back walk-off wins. Well done, Josh Naylor. Well done, Andrés Giménez. Minnesota Twins, not pleased. We don't care. It would appear that we have a pennant race.
We're here to hurt feelings.
Don't you think?
Yes.
It appears we have a pennant race for the rest of the season.
I think we got a three-horse race for this division.
Chicago's not out of it. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think they're out of it.
I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah, I don't think they're out of it. I think they'll get it together. You hear it from too many different places that, you know, this White Sox team just needs to get healthy, and then all of a sudden they're going to make their run.
That's Dan Menigan. I'm Jeff Phelps, and here we go. I can't put too much stock in a three-game series against any team, but, man, if they're able to do something, if they're able to get two out of three, well, that's just nice.
Well, this is a big boy series.
Well, it really is. You're going to see what you're made of this series. Can you compete with the top team in Major League Baseball right now? There's the bottom line. That's it. I mean, that's it. Can you compete with the best team in baseball?
So earlier in the year, as I quickly grab my phone and go to the lovely app to scroll down and find it. So earlier in the year, they were swept by the Yanks in Yankee Stadium. Okay, we had the blow up with the fans and Miles Straw.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of bad blood taking place in that regard as well.
Well, at least if it's in New York.
Players had very little to do with this, but they were swept by the Yanks early on. Okay, it's early in the season. Take it with a grain of salt. If you can go 2 of 3 against the Yanks in your own ballpark, what that does is that signals to the baseball world that this cute little plucky Guardians team is not cute, is not plucky.
They're real.
They're legit.
Yeah.
That this is one of the teams that you are going to have to fight against to come in. It is no longer the cute story. It is no longer the 2020 Miami Marlins that made the playoffs and everybody went, yay, look at you go. Go get them, Tiger. Knowing darn well that was a one-off deal and that they just caught lightning in a bottle and that's it. This is legit. And it's legit on a rebuilding year, which is the other part that should scare the bejesus out of the rest of the AL. Because if this is the quote-unquote rebuilding year, and you've got the guys below who can come up and make some noise. I mean, Nolan Jones just hit a just hit a walk-off grand slam last night for the I think it was a walk-off, at least. I know it was a grand slam for sure for the Clippers. I mean, this is legit. You do this, you make a loud statement to the AL that you are real.
If you can supplement what you're building now with more reinforcements, which is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just the beginning of what could be, and not to get too carried away, a whole different and new era of Cleveland baseball.
Yeah.
And with a good young team, as you know, if you really want to flashback, go back 30 years to the early 90s when they were bringing in young guys and developing young guys, and you built something. I would be stunned if it became that good, but still, that's kind of what you're doing right now. You're building a new team, a young foundation, and you know, then you tweak down the road if you need to.
Who is winning in the way that your previous Guardians teams,
without question,
did not win? This team is an offense-based team. They swing the bats, they win. The starting pitching this season has been league average, if not slightly less. That's the truth. Outside of Shane Bieber, a little bit Cal Quantrill, Tristan McKenzie, and Delessi's facing the Twins. Outside of that, your starting pitching has been very blah.
Well, I've thrown this out a couple of times, Dan. It doesn't go away. You do not have a starting pitcher with a winning record. Now, again, pitchers can't always control wins and losses. I know that sounds silly, but they always can't because, you know, your team has to score runs. Bieber is 3-4. Quantrill is 4-4. McKenzie's 4-6. Plesak's 2-5. And Savali's 2-4. Your starting pitching has not carried this team.
No, it hasn't.
And that, to me, is the most stunning part because I'm pretty confident in the starting pitching. I think it's pretty good. And it hasn't done its usual, I won't call it domination, but its incredible strength. The thing that's led this team in the past, we haven't seen that yet. If that can come around, man, I think the best baseball is yet to come this year.
If you take all the starters and turn them into one player.
Hang on, Robert.
Which is just a fun way to do this. FanGraphs does a great job at this. You take all the starters, put them into one player. That player has got a 3.86 ERA and a 5.7 WAR, would be 21st in baseball.
And I think it's going to get better. And that's why I'm really optimistic about what could be coming this summer. Robert's in Brecksville. Hi, Robert.
Am I allowed to talk now?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. TBD. Right.
So, Madigan, you said that you think it's going to be a three-team race for the AL Central. What do you think this team is missing right now? Are we missing a bat, or are we missing someone that now, you know, whether infield, outfield, or someone on the mound? I'm going somewhere with this.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think it's a starting pitcher. And I can't believe I'm saying that about a Guardians team.
I'm going somewhere with this. So Sunday morning before JP got on, I was listening to CBS Sports Radio, and whoever was on happened to be talking about teams that might become sellers and who might give something up. So let me ask you this. Say you pull out the Jeff Phelps Rolodex phone numbers. You call up the Angels. They'd be like, hey, what do you want for Shohei Ohtani? And I tell you, I give up.
What?
Because they're talking about how the Angels might become sellers at the deadline, and that might be one of the few people they'd be willing to get rid of to begin the rebuild. And if he's up for there, our new minority owner, I mean, they might throw some money in players just to get that guy who would easily – that would be one of your starters right there. Since we would no longer – since he'd be the DH as well most of the time, he'd probably give him Reyes. Whether we give up either Bieber or Plesak, one of those two, not both, and some prospects and maybe another bat, is that something you would go for since you like playing hypothetical trades?
He might be one of the only people I'd put Evan Mobley in a trade for. Because I think that's what it would take.
Wait a minute.
You'd have to trade Evan Mobley too.
I mean, it's not like the two two sports leagues overlap, so I mean, you might be able to.
That's the truth of it, though. It's going to be really tough to get. Ohtani's not going anywhere. Like, if we're doing the trade value column, like, I don't know if there is a trade on this planet that gets Ohtani out of Anaheim. It would have to be Ohtani himself going, get me out of here. I can't handle this anymore. You never know.
No one saw us getting Watson, so you never know what could happen.
You never know. You are 100% right.
Robert, thank you.
As I said, that would be the only trade I think out there right now that I might trade Evan Mobley for.
My my holiday wish. Shohei Ohtani. Ryan is in Vegas. Hello, Ryan.
What's happening, Ryan?
Hey, Menigan, Jeff. Hey, I like that hypothetical trade using different sports.
Wasn't there you
Babe
go.
Ruth,
yeah.
Wasn't Babe Ruth traded for like a play and players? And
it would be the rights to No Nanette.
Yeah, I mean,
and $100,000.
I guess on that, hey, you guys have a good conversation going. It's all about, just being above 500 and getting into the playoffs. Now, again, you alluded to, obviously, the trade probabilities and things like that. I feel that our owner now, obviously, moving forward with the new minority owners, not now, but maybe next year, I think that, obviously, if we have hypothetically like a 5-6-7 game lead in our division, then they would seek out possible trade scenarios for playing the big boys like the Yankees and the Astros in the playoffs. Again, this is all hypothetical. We don't know where we're at. This is a very even keel division. Like you alluded to, nobody wants it. So let's grab it. Let's be the Bengals of the MLB, speaking about different sports this year when it comes to the Guardians. Again, it really boils down to what we can get for trade, because if we bring this into the playoffs, we're going to get laughed out of the playoffs, and it'll be really quick and done. And again, if that's what we have, that honestly, I'm not okay with it, but I really don't like very bad baseball. If it's something that keeps me intrigued year in, year out, like talking about possibly getting in the playoffs, being above 500, this is okay. I don't know if we have the capabilities of taking on the big boys when it comes to salary caps, et cetera, but again, it's way better than what we all thought it was. If we can review those tapes where you, Menigan, you, Jeff, and everyone else under the sun speaking about what we have this year as a team, nobody would expect what we have right now. We're way above where we should be, and I think we're only going to get better. The trade possibilities are in the future, in my honest opinion. Hey, guys, great show as always. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Ryan. Thank you very much. 216-578-0092. Guardians, Yankees, they just walked off twice against the Twins, came out of first place.
Unbelievable.
Folks, this is a summer that could be a lot more fun than people thought it was going to be. I love that thought. I also like this thought. How early is too early? It's next on Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doug, longtime guy who covered the Ohio State Buckeyes for the Plain Dealer, anxious to talk to Doug about what used to be the Big Ten.
It's still the Big Ten. Now it's looking
what
like the
used
Big 16.
To be the Big Ten. Can I just go with that?
Sure.
What used to be the Big Ten?
What was once the Big Ten?
What was once the Big Ten?
Midwestern College Conference.
Rugged,
tough.
Playing in that in those tough conditions for football and
snow
November
coming
and
down.
December. And now, heading over to the Santa Monica Pier after a game.
Exactly.
I'm Jeff Phelps, Dan Menigan's
team in. Standing in front of the Hollywood sign.
That's beautiful. Look, I'm holding it up. We've been talking a little G-Men baseball as the Guardians getting ready to take on the Yankees for three games. Ted is in Wycliffe. Hello, Ted.
What's happening, Ted?
Yeah.
Ted, what happened to your phone? You with us?
You there, man?
Call back, Ted.
Oh, no.
If you wish, you can call back. You must have hit a button. John is in Brooklyn. Hello, John.
What's happening, John?
Fellas, how we doing?
All right.
Doing well. Yourself?
Doing well, thank you. So, as a baseball freak that I am, I find it to be an absolute miracle that this team is sitting one game out of first place in the Central with a 39-34 record. When we talked about, you talked about it earlier, how the starting pitching staff has been quote-unquote average. Bullpen has been bright overall throughout the year. We have three holes in our lineup.
Everyone except Brian Shaw. They need to take Brian Shaw away from Terry Francona, but that's another argument for a different day.
Wow.
Brian Shaw is approaching 50, so I don't think we'll see him much longer in a G-Men uniform. But I look at Miles Straw.
You made Phelps.
Still can't hit. Franmil Reyes can't hit a beach ball right now. And we haven't had offensive production from a starting catcher in a long, long time. I think Yan Gomes.
Yeah, I was going to say the one Yan Gomes
one good year.
And then the one
got his contract.
The Roberto Perez year, too, where he
had a lot of problems.
Yeah, so I want to ask you guys this. What do you think we would have to give up in order to acquire Wilson Contreras from the Cubs?
I don't think it's
a couple of prospects.
I don't think it's a giant haul. Yeah. I gotta see how much longer he has.
Either. He's 30 years old, and he's got a good year going. He's hitting .283, 13 homers.
He hits the ball well, and he's a very good defensive catcher. I don't think we'd lose anything from the defensive side because Hedges is really good defensively, but I think getting another power bat with Contreras, I think maybe we'll take a little bit of pressure off of Reyes down the road or even Straw to get him going a little bit.
So free agent in 23.
In 23, so at the end of this year.
I know Bo Naylor's coming up here soon, but more like a stopgap between now and then.
Free agent at the end of the year. Sorry, misread that.
So in other words, he'd be a rental.
You'd rent him. So probably not even top-tier prospects or anything like that to get a guy like that.
I think he'd look good in our uniform.
And they're 16 games under 500, 13 games behind the Brewers. That's an interesting thought, John.
John, anything would be an upgrade because here I'm going to don't take a sip of any beverage when I tell you this. If you take Luke Maley and you take Austin Hedges and you turn them into one player, they are hitting .161 with a .237 on base and a .260 slugging, striking out 25% of the time.
I didn't even know it was that high. That's impressive.
Wow. John, that was cold. I like it.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
take it easy, John.
And see, that's the kind of move that I could see this team making. If you can get a guy like Contreras, and there are other vets on teams that aren't competing right now who are on expiring contracts, and you can go get them, that might help you. I would prefer to go get a guy who might be under contract for this year and next so that you can kind of plan some things, control some things, but that will cost you a little bit more.
If you're looking at it for catcher, though, that's where it gets tough because the amount of catchers that can hit is a very, very low number.
Yeah.
And if those catchers are available, you're paying a haul for it. I mean, JT Realmuto's getting paid the amount that he's getting paid for a reason.
And you're excited about Bo Naylor.
You are.
So, see, there's the catch. How much do you give up for a guy to come in at a position where you have a prospect who's close enough, who you're really excited about? You know, that's something they're going to have to judge a little bit. Ted's in Wycliffe. Ted's calling back.
Welcome back, Ted.
Yeah, hey guys. Sorry about that.
No worries.
I'm impressed with what the Guardians have done this year. I did not think they would be in this position at this point of the year. But I believe if we want to compete with the Yankees and the Astros and some of the AL East elite, we've got to get, in my opinion, more elite talent. Right now, in my opinion, we've got four players on the roster that are elite. Ramirez, I think Jimenez, Bieber, and Clase. And that's it. And, I mean, if you look back, you had mentioned, Jeff, the 90s, Tomei, Bell, Lofton, Alomar, Vizquel, Ramirez, even Baerga. That's seven right there, elite players
at
the time. We need to – I know we've got two players in the minors that might be able to get us some elite talent, and that's Valera and Espino. And
but they, those are the top two guys in the organization, Ted, and they really want those guys up here.
Well, then they either got to get them up here and get a flash in the pan
or some type of a thing
because I don't think we've got enough. Unless you want to trade for, you know, guys that like the Trey Mancini's of the world and Wilson Contreras is that are going to get minor league talent or middle minor league kind of prospects to come up here and fill in some spots that would improve us, but still not put us in the AL East or Astros category. I'm thinking either bring these guys up now or else trade them for some kind of a special talent, and I don't know who's going to do that.
All right, Ted, thank you. Now, see, that scares me. And again, I'm process boy. I'm okay with... And what Ted said, bring them up now. No, don't bring them up if they're not ready. Valera's been in Double-A. All right, let them have a great season. Bring them up to Triple-A at the end of the year. Do not rush guys. Do not mess them up by rushing them up here. Here's where I have a problem. I do not want to give up the top players in my organization and for any kind of a short-term rental. Absolutely not. And I'm not convinced, and we've already talked about it, Dan, the starting pitching. I'm not convinced this starting pitching gives you a chance to go deep. And even by deep, I mean into the playoffs. I don't know if this starting pitching is ready for that this year. I'm surprised it's not. But I don't know that I want to make the investment of giving up guys I'm really high on for short-term guys. Now, you might not have to. You know, you see trades all the time. Teams give up prospects who you are not the most highly thought of, and you get a short-termer in here. I can see that. I am not giving up the top couple of guys in this organization. They've worked too hard to develop position players like Bo Naylor, like George Valera, who your fingers are crossed that they become something. And so I'm not going to do that based on this team right now this year.
Okay. So I am with you on the vast majority of what you said. But... if, let's say, a proven guy could find its way onto the market who would be with you on a team-friendly contract for an extended period of time.
That's a different story.
Also would play center field for you and would just have to drive up one highway from Pittsburgh to Cleveland.
It's a different story.
And that gentleman's name is Brian Reynolds, who's having a bit of a down year. You could put him in left field. You could put him in right field. He will play decent. He will play really good outfield in those positions. The Pirates haven't played center field. He should not be playing center field. Guy with a .331 on base, a .476 slug. He's hit 15 out this year, .258 average, and is having a quote-unquote down year as that is taking place. That's the move that I would do. You have him under contract, team-friendly through 26. That's the kind of move where all of a sudden I'm going, Nolan Jones, eh? Nice story. Okay. Gabe Arias, eh? Logjam could help me. All of that kind of stuff.
Those names for a guy that I control for a while, I can do that.
Done.
Valera, Daniel Espino, not interested.
I'll give you the other one.
Espino's a starter who throws 100.
Give you another one I would look at. Luis Castillo has found his way off of the IL for the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
He's pitching pretty darn well. Not only would you have him for this year, but you would have him for next year. So you would have a year and a half of control for a guy who, when he is healthy and at his best, is an upper echelon starter in the league.
And what did the Reds do at the beginning of the season and offseason and everything else? They moved salary.
Kaboom would be the best way to put it.
Yep.
So that is another one where I would go, Gabe Arias, eh? Nolan Jones,
Yeah.
Because I can have that guy, and then I can have him for that run. And again, this is all if the organization believes that what they have in front of them is not just lightning in a bottle, but something that can really win. And all you have to do is supplement it with a couple things to really make some noise in the playoffs. And I don't know if they feel that way yet.
Interesting.
But if you take 2 or 3 from the Yankees, Win some games against the White Sox.
Yeah. Yeah. Something different.
Makes
some Mike's
fun.
Mike's in Elyria. Mike, you got about 30 seconds here. Get two quick phone calls.
Hey, I'm sure you guys probably already have touched on this today, but this All-Star voting really is frosting me. Toronto doesn't deserve to have a player in almost every position on the finals list for the All-Star game.
Blame and Canada. Blame Canada.
One country, one team.
Right, exactly. And that's only because they got all of Canada voting for the Toronto players.
Exactly.
That blasted moose vote, I tell you.
Jimenez is much closer to Altuve than Espinal is to Jimenez, let me tell you. Jimenez has had a great season, and that's a complete ripoff that he's not even in the final.
Give it time. Maybe things change, Mike. Maybe they don't. Terry's in Cleveland. Terry, I don't like All-Star voting anyway.
I damn boost vote. Baseball is a game of fans. You know what I'm saying? Remember when the high five came out, then all of a sudden everybody was wearing gold chains? Well, now this is the fad of non-hitting catches. I've never seen nothing like this in my life.
Terry, that's so true.
What happened to the Thurman Munson, the Mike Piazza, the Pudge Rodriguez? I mean,
hell, where's Manny Sanguin, Terry?
Now that's a name.
But you know, like, is Eduardo Rodriguez? I mean, Perez is the only catcher left that can hit for power. And then you touched on something, and it kills me. Do Shaw got anything on Francona that we don't know about?
I don't think it's that direction, man. I think it's the other direction. I think Terry Francona looks at Brian Shaw the same way that Linus Van Pelt looks at his blanket. Like, I think it's just like a safety net.
I don't get it. So you're telling me as long as Francona is the manager of the Guardians, Shaw got a job? Give me a break. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Terry.
All right, Terry. Thank you very much.
Breaking news.
Breaking news at 92.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Beat the Streak podcast. Get an inside edge on how to win the $5.6 million prize every day this baseball season. Listen on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts. Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, free agent center Robin Lopez has agreed to a one-year deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Sources tell ESPN. Jeff, I like it.
Wow.
I like.
Does it bring the caveman hair with him?
Yeah. Oh, the Sideshow Bob hair definitely comes.
It does, huh?
Hopefully he also brings all the awesome wrestling stuff that he used to do with his brother when he was with the Bucks in the back there, where they would actually get into full-blown wrestling matches.
Okay, you know, I have an affection for young centers who might do something like Moses Brown, right?
Holy Moses.
I would rather have Robin Lopez.
Good move.
Wow. Good move. You brought in an experienced big guy to help you inside, and that's the kind of piece you bring in when you're thinking that you have somewhere to go, and that's into the playoffs. So nice. Well done.
I like that move, too. Yeah. I'm with you. Can grab. He always goes everywhere. He grabs boards. He's an awesome teammate, and everybody loves him. He's one of those guys that will play in the league for as long as his body will let him, and then probably a little bit longer because everybody loves Robin Lopez.
34 years old. Been around a long time. I was with Orlando, and he's feisty. He's scrappy, and if the insurance folks need another guy for a new caveman campaign, Robin Lopez is in. I had mentioned before how early is too early. Well, we had some things happen. We didn't get to that. We will. It's coming up on Baskin and Phelps. But next, it's Doug Lamorese, Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. What happened to the old Big Ten?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.